This teaching is called People, Places, and Things. And you know how people can influence our lives and affect our lives. And places can really do the same thing. And certain things of material things that we hold on to, that we don't want to let go of, can cause us to stumble. So we're going to begin to talk about this. Let's go to Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Remember, the Word of God is the voice of God, and these are our promises and directions right through His Word. And He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, He says, I also will reject you from being priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will also forget your children. That's powerful. But let's go back. He says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They are destroyed, they are killed, they are led astray because of the knowledge of God that they lack in their life. Now let's go to Isaiah 33:6. So I just want to lay a foundation here so that you understand that God speaks about these things, and we must understand that it's lack of knowledge of His Word, of His promises, and who He is. And Isaiah 33:6, it says, wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. Wisdom and knowledge will be the stability of your times. And the strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord, is His treasure. Now He's saying, you know, wisdom and knowledge will hold you in all of your times. It will direct you. Jesus speaks about wisdom being so important. He says, if you lack wisdom, He said, pray for wisdom. And that's what I prayed for us today in the beginning of prayer. You heard me pray for wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Well, we need to have those things. So we're going to turn to Job 28:28. And to man, He said, this is God speaking to man, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. The fear of the Lord and reverence unto Him is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. That is powerful. We must depart from evil when it comes across our path. And we're not to walk in the evil. So remember, understanding means to depart from evil, and wisdom means to fear or give reverence to the Lord. Now let's go to Proverbs 16:17. Wonderful information in Proverbs. You know, Proverbs is the book of Proverbs has 31 Proverbs in it, which represents every single day, one day, a prayer a day. And Proverbs is wonderful direction, wonderful wisdom and knowledge and understanding is in Proverbs. And I encourage you to, whatever day it is like if it's the 20th, you go to Proverbs 20, and God's going to speak to you there. But right now we're going to go to Proverbs 16:17. And in Proverbs 16:17 it says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. God is really trying to tell us, man, don't go fooling around with evil. Depart from it. He just set you free from it. Why do you want to go back to it? Don't go back to evil. Don't go into those places where there's evil. Don't hang around with people that you just got set free from. And don't hold on to those things that have caused you to stumble before. So He says, the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He who keeps his way preserves his soul. See, when you depart from evil, when you keep away from those things, your soul is preserved. Hallelujah. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians. We're going to be flying through the Bible today because it's the Word of God. And the Word of God will not come back void. God says, I sent my Word to accomplish what I sent it for. And it won't come back without accomplishing what I wanted it to do. So that's where we're going to be, cruising through the Bible, getting understanding. Like I said, I just want to build a foundation right now. I want you to know that we need to have wisdom. We need to have knowledge. And what wisdom is? Wisdom is the reverence and fear of God. Understanding is to depart from evil. Now we're going to go to 2 Corinthians 6:14. He says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with lawlessness? And what communion has light with darkness? See, he didn't say that, you know, when you go to work, he knows that you're around unbelievers, but he's talking about hanging around with your best friends that were unbelievers, because it's going to cause you a stumbling block. So he said, don't be unequally yoked with them, because your righteousness and their lawlessness, their darkness and your light. He said, in what accord has Christ with Belial? Now, Belial means Satan. So what accord has Christ, and you are Christ, have to do with Satan? You're not to be hanging around each other. Or what part has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell with them, and I will walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. So he says, he's saying, if you do this, if you will, because the next verse is 17, he says, therefore come out from among them, and be separate, says the Lord, and do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. I will be a father to you, and you will be my sons and daughters, says the Lord God Almighty. So he's saying, if you'll do this, then I will dwell with you, I will walk with you, I'll be your God, you'll be my people, and I will live in you. So do you understand it? So we don't want to be unequally yoked with people that are not believers. I mean, if we are out using, drinking, and partying, and, you know, we don't want to go back to that same sin, because God just set us free. We knew the trouble and the torment it brought to our life. So we don't want to go back to that. So we don't want to go back to those same people. Most of the time, you'll find out when you're trying to live righteously and God is empowering you and you've been called by God, you're going to find out that those people don't want to have nothing to do with you. I remember when I had my encounter with the Lord, all of a sudden people said, "Don't get away from Guy. Man, he's seen God." That's pretty strange, isn't it? Because here the whole time we've always been wanting to know the truth, and here you find the truth out, and they want to run from you. Now, there's something else I want you to consider. I want you to consider that even though that, you know, God empowers us to do these things, and we want to be wise, we want to have the wisdom, we want to have the understanding. And he said that the understanding is to depart from evil. Well, he's telling us these are the things of evil. To be unequally yoked with an unbeliever, that's evil. He doesn't want you to do that. He says, what part do you have, because you're light and we're darkness? Now, I want you to really understand this right now. I want you to consider this, that the earth, and that you're here, and that the earth is a training ground for the faithful. Hallelujah. For what awaits you? It's powerful. Now, let's go to a couple examples about people, places, and things. And one of a great, great example that I have seen so far in the Bible is a man called Samson. Now, let's turn to Judges. This is powerful. And we're going to go to Judges 13. Samson was a very powerful man, called by God. And I kind of like want you to look at yourself as like a Samson, all right? Because that's what God is using you for now. You're going to be like a Samson. Chapter 13, verse 1. And it says, again, the child of Israel did evil. The children of Israel did evil in the sight of God. And the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines for 40 years. Let me tell you something. You keep doing evil in front of God, you keep disobeying God, he's going to allow the devil, he's going to turn you right over to the devil, and he's going to kick your butt. Here he turned the people over of Israel over to the Philistines, who were their enemies for 40 years, because they did evil in front of him. Now there was a certain man from Zorah, of the family of Danites, whose name was Moah, and his wife was barren, and had no children. And an angel of the Lord appeared to her, to the woman, and said to her, indeed, now you are barren and have borne no children, but you shall conceive and bear a son. Now, therefore, please be careful. Now, the angel's telling the Lord, okay, look, you're going to have a child. I know that you've been barren, but I tell you this, you're going to have a child. And he's saying, now, these are the things I want you to do. He said, now, therefore, please be careful not to drink wine or similar drink and not to eat anything unclean. For behold, you shall conceive and bear a son. And he said, no razor shall come upon his head, for the child shall be a Nazarite to God from the womb. And he shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. I want you to know something. Here, God chose a man to deliver his people out of the hands of the evil one. I want you to understand that God has chosen you. All the things that you have gone through, God has chosen you. And he's preparing you. Like I said, this earth is a training ground for the faithful. Well, God is preparing you right now. As Jesus went in the desert to learn, now you're going to learn. God is calling you. He wants to use you to go back out when it's time and to deliver his people out of the hands of the devil. All right? So God chose this man called Samson. Now let's go to chapter 14 of Judges and verse 1 through 3. Now remember, he couldn't have his head shaved off. His mother didn't drink wine or eat anything unclean, and neither did Samson. Now let's go to 14 verse 1. Now Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. So he went up and told his father and mother, saying, I have seen a woman of the daughters there of the Philistines. And now therefore, get her for me as a wife. He told his mother that. And he told his father. Then his father said to him, is there no woman among the daughters of your brethren? In other words, isn't there any women among the believers or among our people that you must go and get a wife from an uncircumcised Philistines? He's saying, so his father and mother are saying, why do you want to marry an unbeliever? Why do you want to go out with someone that doesn't have the same faith as you? They couldn't understand it. So here it is, just back what we were talking about, what the Lord says, separate yourself. So he's saying, don't be unevenly yoked with an unbeliever. So here, he wants to marry an unbeliever, which is going to cause him to fall. And Samson said to his father, get her for me, for she pleases me. Sometimes things that please you, it doesn't matter. We have to be obedient to the Lord. Let's go to chapter 16. Now I want you to understand that the Philistines, they were worshiping pagan gods. They don't want worshiping God. And so here the parents were trying to keep Samson from being involved in tying yoke with this person that was doing pagan gods. Now if you're worshiping pagan gods, it means you're worshiping the devil. Now Samson was a worshiper of God, the true Jehovah God Almighty. And his parents didn't want him to begin to be tied with someone that was worshiping the devil. And that's what it's about. So as we go to chapter 16, in the meantime, Samson gave his wife away, basically. And you can read this through and get the full understanding of this, but I just want to bring you an example and an understanding of people, places, and things, and what happens to us when we begin to do these things out of the will of God. But I encourage you to read the story of Samson. It will really enlighten you. Chapter 16, verse 1. Now Samson went to Gaza and saw a harlot there and went into her. So he's out whoring around. That's number one, wrong, right? Now, let's go to verse 6. Well, the girl that he was with in Gaza was called Delilah. So Delilah said to Samson, please tell me, in verse 6, where you get your strength. Where does your strength lie? And what you may be bound to afflict you? And with what? And Samson said to her, if they bind me with 7 fresh bowstrings, not yet dried, then I shall become weak and be like any other man. Well, see, Samson was teasing the girl. He was lying to her. See, here Samson is whoring around with some girl who's a pagan worshiper, which is not right in front of the eyes of God. Now he's beginning to lie. Let me tell you something. When you open the door to involving yourself in demonic activities, unrighteousness in front of God, a door opens up and other spirits begin to come in. So now we see Samson, who's desiring of his lust of the flesh because he's fornicating with this girl. which has caused sin. So that's opened the door. Now all of a sudden you see him lying and teasing this girl. Now let's go to verse 17. Now he's told her a few times. She kept asking because she wanted to know. See, she was getting paid to find this information out because the Philistines were afraid of Samson because they knew he was a servant of God. And because they knew he was a servant of God, they wanted to kill him because they were afraid of him. Well, let me tell you something. When you become a servant of the Lord, the devil is afraid of you and wants to kill you too. I want you to consider yourself like a Samson. But I don't want you to consider yourself as a Samson and go into these bad places. I want you to consider yourself as a good Samson. Okay, now let's go down to verse 17. And he told her his heart, so he opened up. And he said to her, "No razor has ever come upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite to God from my mother's womb. If I am shaven, then my strength will leave me, and I shall become weak and be like any other man." Well, certainly looks like she conned him because of his flesh and his desires of wanting her into revealing his weakness. And the devil does that and tries to do that to us. In verse 18, "And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the lords of the Philistines, saying, 'Come up once more, for he has told me all his heart.' So the lords of the Philistines came up to her and brought the money in their hands." So here she was getting paid to do this. Okay? Then she lured him to sleep, or lured him to sleep, excuse me, on her knees, and called for a man and had him shave off the 7 locks of his head. Then she began to torment him, and his strength left him. Oh, man. And she said, "The Philistines are upon you, Samson." So he awoke from his sleep and said, "I will go out as before at all the other times, and I will shake myself free." But he did not know that the Lord had departed from him. See, God departed from him. You know, he gave him many chances. When the Spirit of the Lord departs from you, you're weak. And in verse 21, "Then the Philistines took him and put out his eyes and brought him down to Gaza. They bound him with the bronze fetters, and he became a grinder in the prison." Now, that's what happens. But I want you to understand, this didn't have to happen. That's all they do is be right in front of God. This man possessed enormous strength. And if you'll read through the rest of this in Judges, where he talks about Samson, you'll see that his strength was phenomenal. This dude used to tear up lions and all sorts of things. I mean, in the end, he ended up pushing out these pillars, and the whole place caved in. Very powerful man. But I wanted you to understand that he was hanging around with the wrong person, going to the wrong place, desiring the wrong things. And one of the things was sex, okay? But God called him. God called him to rescue his people, and God is calling you to rescue his people. You understand that? Praise God. Now let's go on. Let's talk a little bit about Jesus. Let's go to Luke 4:16. So Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up to read. And he was handed the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty those who are oppressed, and to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord." I want you to know that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you to do the same thing. Then he closed the book and gave it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all who were in the synagogue were fixed on him. And he began to say to them, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." So all bore witness to him and marveled at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is this not the Joseph's son?" Let me tell you something. When the Spirit of the Lord is upon you and God touches you, you're going to find out that when you go home, that people are going to say, "Aren't you so-and-so's son or so-and-so's daughter?" See, they're going to try and look at you at the way you were. They're not going to understand that you're a new creation in Christ Jesus according to 2 Corinthians 5:17. But it's okay, because I want you to know that these things are going to happen. Now let's continue on. And he said to them, "You will surely say this proverb to me, physicians, heal yourself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in your country." Then he said, "Surely I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And that's what I'm sharing with you. You know, sometimes in our own home, people don't understand. They think we've gone from drugs to Jesus. But they don't understand it. It is Jesus is the truth, and he cared for us. He didn't care what we had done. He only cared about rescuing us. See, we can come to Jesus with drug abuse, alcoholism, whatever it is. I don't care if you're out fornicating, if you're a hooker, whatever, if you're an embezzler. Man, you go to Jesus with all of it. Let him take it away. Because see, no man can take it away. Only a power and the anointing of Christ Jesus can. And then he said in verse 25, "But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. And when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, and there was a great famine throughout all the land, but to none of them was Elijah sent except to Zarephath in the region of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian." So all those in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And they rose up and thrust him out of the city, and they led him to the brow of the hill on which their city was built, that they might throw him down over the cliff. Then passing through the midst of them, he went his way. So I want you to understand that. There are going to be things coming against you. It's okay, though. I mean, Jesus was empowered by the Holy Spirit, and he went back to his own hometown. And he was rejected. They looked at him as still the carpenter's son. And people are going to look at you as still the way you were. But I just want to prepare you. It's okay. It's just a part of our learning, okay? Now let's go to John 11. Remember, we're talking about people, places, and things. And sometimes it hurts. But we have to be wise. We have to have the wisdom and the understanding. We're going to turn to John 11, 49. Let's start at verse 48. "If we let him alone like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and take away both our place and our nation. And one of them, Caiaphas, being high priest that year, said to them, 'You know nothing at all.'" Ooh. "You know nothing at all. Nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." Now, this is the high priest talking. Man, they're talking about killing Jesus right now. All right? But I want you to understand, and let's go down a little bit further. Jesus knew, see, because he was in the Spirit. And Jesus had the knowledge of God, because he was God. But he had the Spirit. He was led by the Spirit. Jesus knew not to go back to the places that would kill him or cause him to harm or cause him to fall. These were called places of danger. Now, if you go down to verse 54, it says, "Therefore, Jesus no longer walked openly among the Jews, but went from there into the country near the wilderness to a city called Ephraim, and there remained with his disciples." So, see, Jesus knew. I mean, if Jesus knew that he was going to go back to a place and be killed, he didn't go. Only in a specific timing did he do this, because he had to fulfill the scriptures. And I'm sharing with you, don't go back to those places that cause you to use, that cause you to fall, and that cause you to lose what God has given you. God is warning us. He's saying, don't go back. 2 Samuel chapter 11. I'm sharing you these scriptures because I want you to see. These were great men of God. Of course, Jesus was God. These were great men of God. And they knew better. They didn't go back to those places. And I'm going to share with you some of the results of going back to these places, being at the wrong place at the wrong time. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 2. "Then it happened, one evening that David arose from his bed. This is talking about King David. And he walked on the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman bathing. And the woman was very beautiful to behold. David sent and inquired about the woman. And someone said, "Is this not Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah, the Hittite?" And I want you to know something. David went to the place on the roof, and he looked down, and he was watching this woman bathe. I would say it was the wrong place. Remember something. I want you to understand. You have gates. These gates are called your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth gate. Gates that enter into your soul. That's why if we were to sit there and read pornography, it would be an open gate. Or watch pornography, open gate to lust, to desire. If you read about some of these guys that have been raping kids and all this other stuff, you'll find out that many of them started off by, as a child, reading pornography. So here David went up on the top of this roof, and he was looking down, and he saw this woman. So let's go to verse 4. Then David sent messengers and took her, and she came to him. And she lay with, and he lay with her, for she was cleansed from her impurity and returned to her house. And the woman conceives. So she sent and told David and said, "I am with child." Well, how many times have we heard of people because they saw something that they desired, a woman or a man, and next thing I know, because of their lust, they conceived and they're with child because it wasn't in the right in the sight of God. And in verse 15, now remember, this woman was married, and David was with her. So, in verse 15, he wrote in the letter saying, "Set Uriah in the front line of the hottest battle." Now, Uriah was the husband of Bathsheba, who he was with. So here, David, same thing, check this out. Remember, Samson committed fornication. David committed fornication. Now, the next thing he's going to do is commit murder. So, he sent with a letter and said, "Uriah sent him to the forefront of the hottest battle and retreat from him that he may be struck down and die." So, David told his commanders, "Okay, I want you to get this guy up front during the war and leave him so that he dies, so that when he dies, I can have his wife." Do you see what happened? David was at the wrong place, allowing his eye gates to open up, and then he committed fornication, and then he committed murder. Not good. The understanding, these gates, we have to be careful of the gates. That's why when we go into people, we hang around with people, places, and things, those gates are wide open. And remember before we shared, we want to feed our spirit with the things of God, not the things of the world. Let's go to another example why we're in 2 Samuel. 2 Samuel chapter 1, verse 10. Here is a man that during the battle, King Saul was still king. David, as they fought the Philistines, as Israel fought the Philistines, David didn't want to fight against King Saul, even though Saul was chasing him all the time. You can read about this and learn more. But I'm just sharing you, I'm bringing you this briefly so you can understand. Now, there was this man who, during the war, during this battle, killed King Saul, and he was a Philistine. And he ran over to David, where David was at, up in the mountains, and bragged about it. Verse 8, and he said to me, "Who are you?" Now, this is King Saul saying to this man that's about to kill him. He said, "Who are you?" So I answered him, "I am an Amalekite. I'm sorry, so this man is an Amalekite. Not a Philistine. And he said to me, now this is the man talking again that killed King Saul. He said to me again, "Please stand over me and kill me, for anguish has come upon me, but my life is still remains in me." So Saul was crying out, I don't care who you are, kill me. Let's go to verse 14. So this man is telling David this stuff. And David says to the man, "How was it you were not afraid to put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed?" This dude is probably, he's up there going, "Hey man, you know, I just killed the king for you. I was in this battle, you know. I just want you to know that this is what I did. And David's going, wait a minute, brother, you got it wrong. That king has been anointed by God. Who do you think you are by killing him? Coming to me boasting. So he says, and put forth your hand to destroy the Lord's anointed. Then David called one of the young men and said, go near and execute him. And he struck him so that he died. So David said to him, your blood is now on your head, for your own mouth has testified against you, saying, I have killed the Lord's anointed. I would say that dude was at the wrong place in the wrong time. Amen? You know, sometimes our own mouth, remember I talked about the gates, the mouth gate. Sometimes our own mouth can cause us our own destruction. Okay? Now, let's go to 1 Samuel 10. Because there are good things about being in right places at the right time. 1 Samuel 10, verse 1. Then Samuel took a flask of oil and poured it on his head. This is King Saul. And kissed him and said, it is not because the Lord has anointed you commander over his inheritance. When you have departed from me today, you will find two men by Rachel's tomb in the territory of Benjamin at Zelzah. And they will say to you, the donkeys which you went to look for have been found. And now your father has ceased caring about the donkeys and is worrying about you, saying, what shall I do about my son? Now this is Saul, who has been anointed king. So Saul, he goes and meets these people. Now let's go to, and we'll go to verse 5. And after that you shall come to the hill of God, where the Philistine garrison is. And it will happen when you have come there to the city that you will meet a group of prophets coming down from the hill, from the high place, with a stringed instrument, a tambourine, a flute, and a harp before them, and they will be prophesying. So he's saying, okay, when you go there, you'll see this happening. This is what the prophets are doing. They're coming down from this hill. And the Spirit of the Lord will come upon you, and you will prophesy with them and be turned into another man. Now, prophets, that means the Spirit of the Lord was upon these people. So there is good to be around believers. There is good to be around those who are moving in the Spirit, who are moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Because when you're around those people, you'll be turned into another man. And that's the Word of God. That's why it's so important. That's why I share with you, when I first became a believer, I didn't hang around with around those that wanted to learn. I hung around those that were learned. Because I was hanging around more with them, more time with them, I was being turned into another man. More and more and more. Okay? So I encourage you, hang around with believers and be turned into another man. You'll find your life changing. You'll be able to ask them questions that your answers will be given to you right away. And as we began in the beginning, the Bible says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. The Lord said that. So we want to have knowledge. We don't want to go back into those places that we came from. We don't want to have those things that we hold on to. And we don't want to be about those people. Because if you're going to hang around with those people, you'll be turned into another man in the wrong way. We want to hang on to the believers. We want to hang on to the anointing of God and the anointed ones, the truth, and we will be turned into a new man. Praise God. I've heard of a man of God speaking one day, and he was talking about that he was doing a service, and this woman came up to him for prayer. This voice came out of her and said, she's mine. And he knew it was a spirit in her. He had asked her, what did you do? And she was a believer. And she said, well, I went to this pornography place because I wanted to do research in pornography. And I was looking through this thing, watching this movie, to do research on pornography. Only God knows the truth. And she found herself having trouble. So she went to church and went to hear prayer. And the devil spoke to her and said, she's mine. Let me tell you something. When you go into these places, when you go into a bar, when you go into a pornography place, when you go into a dope house, when you go into these places, you know that they are using and their drugs or alcohol or whatever, and they are willingly disobeying God because they don't know the Lord, and you willingly go in there, you are saying no to God and yes to the devil. And the devil believes he has dominion on you. And that woman had to get set free of that spirit again. Just because you become a believer, God wants to protect you. But he says, I can't protect the things that you go into on your own will. In other words, you tie the hands of the Lord because you just said no to God. I'm not going to be obedient to your ways, Lord. I'm going in the house of the devil instead of going in the house of God. And that's what happens. Now, we want to be turned into a new man. We want to be wise. We want to have the wisdom. Remember, the wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And understanding is to depart from evil. We must depart from evil at all costs. So when an old friend comes up and says whatever, hey, let's go do this, do that, man, you got to say no. You got to depart from it. The Bible says resist the devil and he will flee. I want to really emphasize about people, places, and things. Now let's go to Acts 19. Remember the book of Acts explains the Acts of the Apostles. Verse 11. Now God works unusual miracles by the hands of Paul the Apostle, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from his body to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits went out of them that these aprons or handkerchiefs were given to. I want to talk about things. The anointing of Paul was so strong that handkerchiefs or aprons that were given to him, he would either wear or lay hands on, and the anointing on that thing would be transferred, and they would give this to someone else, and they would be healed and delivered. Is that powerful? Because that's the presence of God. Now, I want you to know something. Satan also has things in his own anointing that cause the same thing, but not to be delivered and healed, but to cause destruction and death. You know, like paraphernalia that we might have in the house, things that could trigger us, like I was talking about pornography or whatever. You know, people who want to quit smoking cigarettes, those cigarettes in the house, it's like meat, it's food to the spirit because they have a spirit of nicotine in them. And until they get rid of that and ask God to deliver them from them, that spirit is still going to want to eat and he's going to know it because those cigarettes are still there. Well, there are certain things that the powers of darkness have his own anointing on. I really don't like to call it an anointing, but I don't know of any other word. Because God is the only truly anointed one, but the devil tries to counterfeit everything of the Lord. And there are certain things that would cause us to stumble. And we're wondering why we're tormented and hindered. Well, if they're in our midst, then we feel the draw. If there's pornography, if there's cigarettes, if there's books still talking about drugs and all this other stuff. You know, whatever it is that caused you to fall, caused you to stumble, you need to get rid of. You need a clean house. And that's what I'm talking about. Cleaning house. And I'm going to give you a better illustration of this if you go with me to Joshua 7. Joshua 7, 7. And Joshua said, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites? To destroy us? Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. See, now God was bringing them to the promised land. This was after Moses died and went on and he passed his authority on to Joshua. He passed his anointing on to Joshua. And Joshua was leading the people to the promised land. And they had to go over the Jordan. Joshua's going, man, what's all this trouble? I mean, Lord, you've been giving us all of these wars, and we've been kicking butt. We've been delivering our people out of bondage. Lord, we've been taking the land that you've been promising us, and now all of a sudden we're getting beat. What's going on? Why would you even tell us to come over the Jordan and bring us towards this promised land, promising us these lands, and we're being defeated right now? He says, oh Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back before its enemies? In other words, runs. For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name? So the Lord said to Joshua, get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? He said, Israel has sinned. See, Joshua didn't know this. And they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them. Look at me. When you come back to the Lord, you're saying, Lord, I'm making covenant with you now. See, blood means covenant. So God has got a covenant with you and we have a covenant with him. But I'll tell you something. When you have a covenant with God, it's life. But when that covenant is broken, it's death. So here he's telling them, look at, there's sin. You guys messed up. You broke covenant. And if you continue on reading, he says, for they have even taken some of the accursed things. Let me repeat that. Accursed things. Things of the devil are cursed. And have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Whoa. Now, let's go back here, all right? So the Lord says, look at me. You guys messed up. One of your people has stolen an accursed thing that I said don't touch or don't take. And you've taken it. And you brought it in your camp. And because of that, you sinned. And those wars that you're going out and trying to fight, you're losing. Because you've got an accursed thing. The things of the devil are cursed. And it will cause you to lose the battle. Do you understand why it's so important that you're not hanging around the people and the places and the things? Things. He's talking. Those are accursed things. He said, therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies. And my brother and sister, you won't be able to stand before your enemy if you've got an accursed thing. But turn their backs before their enemies, because they have become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you anymore, unless you destroy the accursed from among you. Now the Lord is saying, look it, I'm not going to be with you. See how we tie the hands of the Lord? Do you see how this is how God speaks, and he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge because they don't know these truths. So I'm sharing this with you that you know the truth. Get rid of everything that's accursed of God. There are t-shirts that you have, this is the Holy Ghost just telling me, saying promoting beer, promoting cigarettes. There are hats that you have that are promoting the things of the world. Those things are accursed, and I'm telling you, get rid of them because they're causing you to stumble. In verse 13, and the Lord said to him, get up, sanctify the people. In other words, separate yourself and say, sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus the Lord God of Israel, thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. You cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. Do you understand? This is truth, okay? This is truth. God is saying, look, you got to get rid of that or you're going to fall. Now let's go to verse 20. Now there's this dude, Achan. They found out that Achan messed up. So Achan answered Joshua and said, I indeed have sinned against the Lord of Israel, and this is what I have done. Now he's confessing. When I saw among the spoils, now spoils are known as things too, okay, in the Bible. You'll hear about spoils. Those are things. He said, when I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them. I took them, and there they are, hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it. You see, you've got things hidden in your house, man, that you need to get rid of. You got things hidden in your car that you need to get rid of. You need to get rid of those accursed things, or you're going to find yourself coming against the enemy and being defeated. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent, with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them before the Lord. Then Joshua and all of Israel with him took Achan, the son of Zerah, the silver and the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day, brother. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they buried them with fire after they had stoned them with stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Now, the Lord turned away. Now God will turn away once you get rid of these things. I'm telling you how important this is. Please, please believe me. Please understand. I know you think, well, this is just a shirt. I know that this is just a hat. Well, this is just a book. It's just material. And that's what the devil wants you to think. Get rid of the rolling papers. Get rid of the bottles of booze. Get rid of the empty bottles of booze. Get rid of all of those things that cause you to stumble. Get rid of those. You know, let me tell you something that's really big right now that the devil's put. Did you ever hear those, I don't know, winning catchers or whatever? Anyways, people are saying they keep them away from evil spirits. Well, that's baloney. It's a lie from the devil. Many of the Indians worshiped evil spirits, and many of them come to Christ, praise God. But I want you to know you got to get rid of these things, okay? So let's clean house today. Let's sanctify ourselves unto the Lord. Remember, he says, if you separate yourself, then I'll be your father and you'll be my children. But see, there's a part that we have to play, that we have to be obedient to what he's telling us, okay? Now let's go to Judges. Back to Judges. Glory to God. Actually, it's one book up. So if you'll just turn up, you'll keep going, you'll go to Judges. Chapter 6. Judges chapter 6. Glory to God. In verse 12. Judges chapter 6, verse 12. Now, we're going to be talking about this man named Gideon. And this guy was, according to the scriptures, seemed like, you know, he was a pretty frightened dude. And he was a warrior. Okay, and let's just read the scriptures. In verse 12, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, the Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor. And Gideon said to him, oh my Lord, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his miracles which our fathers told us about, saying, did not the Lord bring us from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go into this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have I not sent you? So he said to him, oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Well, let me tell you something, brother and sister. You may think that you're the weakest and you are the least in your father's house, but God considers you a man and woman of valor, a mighty warrior. All right? Even though, look at, don't look at yourself. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Look through the eyes of God. You're somebody. You're worthy. He paid the price for you. You know that in Revelations, he says, I've called you to be kings and priests. Remember, consider your earth as a training ground for the faithful. He's calling you as he called Samson, but Samson blew it. He hung around the wrong people, places, and things. Now God's given us this chance. Now let's take this chance, and let's hold on to him and go for it. Now let's go to chapter 8. Remember, Gideon, man, he thought he was a wimp. He thought he was nothing. But God saw something in him that he didn't see. And in verse chapter 8, verse 24. Now, Gideon, before we continue this, Gideon became a mighty warrior. And the people were going like, whoa, all right, Gideon, you did it. You defeated them. Now, this is what Gideon did. Gideon was telling the people. He said to them, I would like to make a request of you that each of you would give me the earrings from his plunder. For they had golden earrings because they were Ishmaelites. I have a hard time with some of these words. But it's okay. So are you, I'm sure. So they answered, we will gladly give them. And they spread out a garment, and each man threw into the earrings from his plunder. Now the weight of the gold earrings that he requested was 1,700 shekels of gold, besides the crescent ornaments, pendants, and purple robes which were on the kings of the Midian, and besides the chains that were around their camels' necks. Then Gideon made it into an ephod, and set it up in his city. And all Israel played the harlot with it, because a snare to Gideon, and became a snare to Gideon in his house. Now I want to share something with you. Here was Gideon. Thought he was a nobody. The Lord said, you're somebody. Gideon became a warrior, defeated his enemy, and his people began to uplift him. He said, look, here I am. I'm about ready to die. I'm old, this, that, whatever. I want to leave you something. He said, give me all your gold earrings. Give me all this other stuff that you have taken from the enemies, the spoils. And I want to make you a shrine, basically. That's what he did. He made a shrine. And it says here that then Gideon, and if you go to verse 27, and it became a snare to Gideon and to his house. And in verse 28, thus Midian was subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted their heads no more. And the country was quiet for 40 years in the days of Gideon. You see, Gideon caused a stumbling block. Why? Because there was a thing. He began to worship that thing. Those are shrines. And God says, make no image of anything, of the sea, of the heaven, the earth, and worship it. Do not worship shrines. See, this thing brought a stumbling block to them. Now, I want to share with you a couple things. I am not against anyone or anything, but I know things that cause a stumbling block. I remember one time I went into my mother's house, my mother-in-law's house, and she had all these statues around of saint this, saint that, saint this, and she used to pray to these things. But she came to the Lord and knows the truth, and she's a powerful woman of God. I used to say, man, why don't you get rid of these wise guys? Because I know that they caused a stumbling block. Those leprechauns of the Irish and all this other stuff. Man, the Italian horns. Brothers and sisters, those are accursed things. Don't cause you to stumble. Okay? I want you to understand that. You need to get rid of them. Shrines, statues, things that people begin to worship. If you're praying to saints, you're sinning, because they're with the Lord. Jesus came and paid the price. He said, now you'll ask in my name of the Father. The Bible never said to pray to saints, because it's an abomination. And I'm going to show you right where it is an abomination. Okay? Let's go to 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 28. Praise God. Now, Saul, who was disobedient with the Lord, Samuel had died, and Saul was looking for help. So Saul went to a seer, a medium. Let's go to chapter 28 of 1 Samuel, verse 5. 1 Samuel is in the Old Testament. You there? Good. Then Saul said to his servants, find me a woman who is a medium, that I may go to her and inquire of her. And his servant said to him, in fact, there is a woman who is a medium at Endor. So Saul disguised himself and put on other clothes, and he went, and two men went with him. And they came to the woman by night. Why? Because Saul didn't want this woman to know who he was, because he was an anointed man of God. Even though Samuel was dead, it was the prophet who was directing him, because he was getting the voice of God through Samuel. Well, Samuel died and was gone, and Saul was being disobedient, and he needed direction. But God took his spirit from him. So Saul disguises himself to go to see this woman. Why did he disguise himself? Because he was going to a person that was involving themselves in witchcraft. I'll tell you what, these mediums, these palm readers, they are hearing from evil spirits. I want you to know that. We are not to inquire to the dead. It's an abomination of God. Remember, Jesus said, in my name you'll ask of the Father and he'll give to you. You don't need to go to nobody else. You go right to the Father. When you ask for forgiveness, you need to go to no man to ask his forgiveness. You go right to the Father and ask for his forgiveness. Okay? Okay, let's see. So Saul disguised himself, put on clothes, he went with two other guys, and he came to the woman by night and he said, please, conduct a seance for me and bring up for me the one I shall name to you. And then the woman said to him, look, you know what Saul has done, how he has cut off the mediums and the spiritists from the land. See, Saul had commanded them all to go. And so he was going against his own rule because he knew that they were evil because God had told him to get rid of them. So, and the woman said, look, man, you know what Saul has already said, because she can't tell that Saul is disguised. He said, you look, and she said, why then do you lay a snare for my life to cause me to die? She's saying, man, why are you coming to me? You're gonna have me killed. Saul's men will have me, they'll kill me because of what I'm doing. And Saul swore to her by the Lord, saying, as the Lord lives, no punishment shall come upon you for this thing. This thing. Then the woman said, whom shall I bring for you? And he said, bring up Samuel for me. And the woman, when the woman saw Samuel, she cried out with a loud voice. And the woman spoke to Saul, saying, why have you deceived me? For you are Saul. And the king said to her, do not be afraid. Why do you see? What do you see? And the woman said to Saul, I saw a spirit ascending out of the earth. So he said to her, what is his form? And she said, an old man is coming up, and he is covered with a mantle. And Saul perceived that it was Samuel. Now remember, Saul perceived that it was Samuel. I'm telling you that they have connection in the spiritual realm, but remember, the devil is a liar and a deceiver, a thief, and a destroyer. Those spirits are pretending to be something that they're not. All right? And Saul perceived that it was Samuel, and he stooped with his face to the ground and bowed down. Now Samuel said to Saul, why have you disrupted me by bringing me up? And Saul answered, I am deeply distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God has departed from me, and does not answer me anymore, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called you, that you may reveal to me what I should do. Then Samuel said, so why do you ask me, seeing the Lord has departed from you and has become your enemy? And the Lord has done for himself as he spoke by me. For the Lord has torn the kingdom out of your hand and given it to your neighbor, David. Because you did not obey the voice of the Lord, nor execute his fierce wrath upon Amalek. Therefore, the Lord has done this thing to you this day. Praise God. So do you understand? Here's another thing about spoil. Here's another thing about thing. Another thing about worshiping. Another thing about seeking. If you're still reading horoscopes, if you still think that you're a Gemini or whatever, man, that's baloney. You are a child of God and you're not to seek those things anymore. Okay? No more. And God forgives you. But these are some of the things that we need to repent from. All right? Are you with me on this? I know this is bringing much revelation to you, but these are things that are going to prevent you from stumbling and falling. So Saul was with the wrong person. He was seeking the powers of darkness to get an answer from God. All right. Now, let's go somewhere else. Let's go to 2 Thessalonians. That's in the New Testament. These are the epistles that Paul wrote to the Thessalonians. We're going to go to 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Praise God. Aren't you learning a bunch of stuff? I mean, we need to know this stuff. Because we're tired of having the devil take control of us. These are his secret little devices that cause us to stumble. And we have to be wise to them. Amen? Amen. 2 Thessalonians 3:6. Let's read it. But we command you, now this is Paul writing to the Thessalonians. But we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw from every brother who walks disorderly and not according to the tradition which he received from us. There's an order. Stay away or withdraw from brothers of disorder. Okay? Stay away and withdraw from brothers of disorder. That's why it's so important for you to hang around with those who are learned. Let's go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Say glory to God. Glory to God. Praise God. He's so good to us. I mean, he's bringing us this information. Remember, at the beginning of this, we talked about God said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And now we're getting the understanding to depart from evil. We're getting the wisdom, which is reverence and fear of God. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5:16. It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. And old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Praise God, isn't that wonderful? So he's saying, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Now, let's find out what the flesh is. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. It's the book just before Ephesians. Galatians 5:16. People, places, and things. This is talking about people. Depart from evil. Depart from those who are doing evil. Depart from those who are disorder. Depart from those who are walking according to the flesh. And this is according to the flesh. And Galatians 5:16 it says, I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. They don't like each other. And these are contrary to one another. So that you do not do the things that you wish. See, your flesh desires to do things that are against God. 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. 19. These are the works of the flesh. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, and of which I tell you before, just as I also told you in the past time, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. They will not inherit the kingdom of God. You understand? They will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, when we go back in verse 20, we see idolatry, right? Now, that was what I was talking about, the shrines. Sorcery. What do we talk about sorcery? Sorcery is using drugs. Remember, drugs means pharmakos, which in Greek means magic, sorcery, witchcraft. See, so God is saying those who are using drugs will not inherit the kingdom of God. But see, he wants you to come to him with all of these things so that he can take them from you. You understand it? People, places, and things. Now we know. So if we consider, it says, regard no one according to the flesh. Now there's something else I want you to see. Now let's go to Psalms 58:3-5, and I'm going to share something with you that's going to blow your mind. Glory to God. Psalms 58, that's back in the Old Testament. Those are those wonderful prayers by the Spirit, those wonderful songs. Glory to God. And I want you to begin to start going to a proverb every day. Hallelujah. Psalm 58, verse 3 through 5. Let's read it. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they are born, speaking lies. You know, when we came into this world, we weren't the sweetest things because we were born in sin. I mean, we basically, most of us have been lying most of our lives and just thinking that, oh, it's okay, because we never had the reverence or fear of God. And in verse 4 it says, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf cobra that stops its ears, which will not heed the voice of the charmers, charming ever so skillfully. My main point here is, in verse 4, their poison is like the poison of a serpent. Now I want to share something with you. In the Old Testament, when Moses came down from the mountain, where God had given him the Ten Commandments, and the people finally got fed up with Moses, they said, man, he's up there too long. They began to build themselves out of gold an idol. And they began to worship it. And Moses came down and was freaked out. He threw the Ten Commandments at them. It busted. The ground opened up, the ground ate some of the people, and God had serpents there. God sent serpents and began to bite these people. And these people began to die. And did you ever see the sign of the medical field? You know, it's got a serpent with like a sword through it. Well, the Lord told Moses to make one of those. And when people looked on it, they'd be healed. Praise God. But I want to share something with you. I was praying for this woman in a hospital. And I want to, first of all, before I even get into this, I want you to understand that God loves us. And He created us in a special way. So we are created in the image of God. Now, as I continue into this story that I'm about to tell you, I just want you to know that there was this woman who was a lesbian. Okay, and lesbian, gay, whatever, whether male or female, or bisexual, whatever, that's against God. God did not create Adam to be with Harry or Eve to be with Lucy. He created Adam and Eve, okay? So, if they're gay, I love you. And God will set you free. But it's an abomination to God. God did not create you in that way. Those are evil spirits that have come in people that are gay. I don't know how we got off onto this, but I just want you to know that. All right? And they can be delivered and set free. Anyways, I was praying for this woman in a hospital, and she was dying of cancer. And she received the Lord. Praise God. And one of her old friends came in, and she came in with this cane, and the Lord told me to stand back. Now, every time she went to touch her friend that was laying in the hospital bed, the woman in the hospital bed began to groan. And then the woman would take her hand off, and she'd look like, whoa, what's going on? And I'm looking in, and the Lord just said to me, stand there, and I want to show you something. And the woman went back and grabbed the hand of the woman that was sick again, and the woman began to groan, the woman that was sick in the hospital bed. So the girl that touched her moved back again. And the Lord said, I wanted to push the woman aside and say, man, don't touch this girl no more. And the Lord showed me. He said to me, my children are the temple of the Holy Spirit. And this woman is a temple of demons. And I saw, He showed me in the spirit realm, these serpents that were in her. And every time she went and grabbed this girl, it was like a serpent was biting this woman every time and leaving the poison. So see, we have to be careful of people, places, and things. And I just wanted to share that with you. All right? The woman died, and she went home to heaven. Praise God. But she got set free. That was the will of God. But I just wanted to share with you. Man, I didn't know what to do with this woman. And I'm like, oh, I wanted to push her out of the way. But God said, no, Stainer, I want to show you something. So I want to share this with you, because in Psalms 58, 3 through 5, it says, a serpent's bite is poison. Well, that's what's happening. When you go into the house of the devil, when you go around those people, and you go to these dances where you're hearing this music and all this stuff, that's another thing I want to share with you, the ear gate. Get rid of the music. Now God will give you the strength. Remember, we want to feed our spirit with the things of God. That music is a trigger. Because if it's not of God, then it's of the devil. Remember that. You either serve the Lord or you serve the devil. One or the other. And in Psalms 141:4, the Bible says, don't eat of the delicacies of the wicked. Cool. I want us to go. You can just write that down. I just want to share that with you. In 1 Corinthians, check this out. In 1 Corinthians, and I want us to go there because I want you to see this, 1 Corinthians 10, chapter 10, verse 21. Let's read it. It says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of the Lord's table and the table of demons. Do you understand that? You cannot, that's the same thing. When you begin to take the cup of demons, it means you're going to these places, it's boozing it, it's partying. You can't take the cup of the demons and the cup of the Lord's Supper. Okay? Please understand that. I'm just trying to bring you information about people, places, and things. I'm trying to bring you information that the devil is trying to cause you to stumble in every way he can, through music, through material things, through using your eyes of books, of reading and seeing and lusting, through hearing, through speaking, all these things. He's trying to cause you to stumble. Remember, consider yourself a chosen vessel of God. He's taking you from the powers of darkness. He's filled you with His Spirit. He's teaching you His ways. And you know it, being led by the flesh will cause death. You can't enter the kingdom of God. Now there's one other thing I want to share with you, and it's in Proverbs. Or I'll share them with you with Proverbs. Glory to God. Proverbs 26. Proverbs 26. There's 31 Proverbs. There's one proverb for every single day. It's the book right after Psalms. Proverbs 26, verse 11. He says, as a dog returns to his own vomit, so a fool repeats his folly. Ooh. Don't be a dog that returns to his own vomit. These are places of habits. Places of habits. Get rid of them. Ask God to get rid of them. Those are strongholds. And we're going to begin to talk about strongholds and weapons of the powers of darkness in another teaching. But I want you to understand the importance of people, places, and things. And God is saying, don't go back as a dog and return to your vomit. All right, now let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 4, verse 5. You know, God comes and rescues us. I mean, He rescued us. Now, it's our duty to hold on to Him. And if you'll read in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 5, surely I have taught you statutes and judgments. Let's go back to verse 4, I'm sorry. He said, but you who held fast to the Lord your God are alive today, every one of you. Praise God. Surely I have taught you statutes and judgments, just as the Lord my God commanded me. This is Moses speaking to his people. That you should act according to them in the land which you go to possess. Let me tell you something. The only way to possess the land is to be obedient to the voice of God. Now let's go to verse 14 and 15. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments that you might observe them in the land which you cross over to possess. This is the conclusion we're talking about this teaching. The commandments of God, we're going to possess the land. In verse 15 he said, take careful heed to yourselves, for you saw no form when the Lord spoke to you at Horeb out of the midst of the fire, lest you act corruptly and make for yourselves a carved image in the form of any figure, the likeness of a male or female, the likeness of any animal that is on the earth, or the likeness of any winged bird that flies in the air, the likeness of anything that creeps on the ground, or the likeness of any fish that is in the water beneath the earth. And take heed lest you lift your eyes to heaven, and when you see the sun and the moon and the stars, all the hosts of heaven, you feel driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord your God has given to all the peoples under the whole heaven as a heritage. Ooh, he's saying, don't do that. Don't do that. This is a warning. These are called idolatry. He's saying, beware of idolatry. We are not to worship angels. We are not to worship images of anything. Mother Mary, we're not to worship any of these. Mother Mary is with God. She is a brethren like me and you. God used her as he used many men. But we are not to worship shrines or anything. These are abomination to God. Okay? I wanted you to share that. We want to possess the land, don't we? We want to possess that land. So in conclusion, we want to get the world out of us, and we want more of God in us. And we want to let yesterday go, and we want to put our hands to the plow and keep going forward. Understand the things, the people, and the places. It's a war, and you're in a war, but he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Praise God. Now, you heard a lot today. There's a lot in this message. And I asked you to go over it and over it. And like I said, if you have any questions, write me. It's okay. Our address is on there. Just send it. Continue to grow. Continue to eat and drink of Christ Jesus. And you'll find yourself getting closer and closer to the Lord. You'll find more and more peace. You'll find deliverance happening all the time. Remember he said, my people perish for lack of knowledge. And we want all knowledge that we can get from him. And that's what this is about. He said, disciple. Disciple. And this is the discipling program, bringing you understanding. And we're going to give you the guns to go out there with so that you can be more than an overcomer and more than a conqueror. Remember, you're a child of God, the Most High. You are a royalty. He paid the price for you on the cross. Now we need to deny ourselves and walk with him. I love you, my brother and sister. God bless you and enjoy this wonderful walk with Christ Jesus.